Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Peter Hirschfeld in for Jane Lindholm. In 2011, the Vermont Department of Corrections moved all of its female inmates into an old detention facility in South Burlington. Now, lawmakers in the administration of Governor Phil Scott are trying to figure out how to get them out. Even top corrections officials say the facility is unequipped to deliver the kind of rehabilitative programming that many of the inmates need. But replacing the facility will be costly, and key policymakers are still grappling with some critical questions about what the new prison should look like. We're joined on today's show by two people who are spending their summer trying to find some answers to this dilemma. Mike Touchette is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Corrections, and Representative Alice Emmons chairs the House Committee on Corrections and Institutions. She's also the longest-serving member of the Vermont House of Representatives. Mike, Alice, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Mike.
I want to note at the outset that Corrections Commissioner here was up until 3:30 this morning, welcoming his first grandchild into the world. Mike, congratulations on the new arrival, and we all forgive you in advance for any mental lapses associated with that sleep deprivation.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're very
congratulations,
proud.
Mike. A granddaughter or a grandson?
A grandson.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Thank you.
Mike, before we get to the issue of the women's prison specifically, I want to ask you about women in the correction system more generally. Mm-hmm. How is housing women in a correctional setting different from men?
Sure. That's a great question, and it's kind of part of the root of the discussion about replacing this the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility. Our statistics, not only in Vermont but nationwide, indicate that about 85 to 90% of the women who are incarcerated are themselves victims of violence, sexual violence, and trauma throughout their childhood and even through their adulthood. And that's an important consideration when we talk about replacing this correctional facility. We want our interactions with the population to be dignified, and part of that being dignified in how we approach this work is the setting in which we do that in. The Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility was built in 1973, and it was not built for the purpose that it is used for today. It was built for a detention population. It lacks any space or really any opportunity to expand space there. It's a small footprint, and it's in an urban area, so there's some real challenges just in the setting alone. But more importantly is really about the environment itself. It looks and feels much like an antiquated prison. And so when we talk about women who have experienced trauma or are victims themselves, and just to be clear, I'm not minimizing or excusing any criminal behavior that they've done, but when we're considering how we best provide service and treatment and prepare them for reentry, those are all the things that we have to consider is what is their background? What do we need to know about this individual to best help them? And so the environment itself lacks very little natural light, which is not unique to an incarcerated population. Sunlight is good for our mental health and our physical health. The quarters are small, cramped, it's concrete, it's very, very loud. And looking around the country, and I'm going to cite Maine here, Maine has a brand new 2017 women's reentry facility. When you look at that facility aesthetically, both inside and outside, it looks and feels like a college campus. And their philosophy, and this is where I think Vermont really needs to kind of move towards, is an environment that helps us achieve our outcomes and getting people prepared and engaged is a good avenue to move down towards and trying to achieve the outcomes of lowering recidivism and crime rates and returning people to the community in a healthier, more productive manner.
Representative Alice Emmons, you're part of a group of lawmakers in the House that has been trying to light a fire under this effort to replace the women's prison. What specifically have you seen there that's fueling that urgency?
I think there's a real variety of things that are fueling it. One is the age of the building. And in our world of construction, we look at how much deferred maintenance and what that cost is. And for the Chittenden facility, that's one of our highest facilities for deferred maintenance. And you get to a point where you're spending more on deferred maintenance on an annual basis for a facility than you would be for operating a new one. The other piece is very similar to what Commissioner Touchette said. It is an inappropriate setting for women. And we need to really start looking at our facilities, not just the women's facility, but also some of our other facilities in terms of what are the needs of corrections now in 2019 and 2020 going forward versus how they were built back in the 70s and even up through the 90s, because now correctional facilities are designed and built quite differently. We have in Chittenden limited use of that building for what really needs to happen in terms of therapeutic setting for our inmates, and the building just cannot accommodate that. And I have often said that if we don't have a policy in providing services to Vermonters who are under the custody of the state, if we do not have a policy for that, our buildings will determine the policies. So right now, the Chittenden facility is determining the policy of how we treat and take care of and rehabilitate our women offenders. And we also have some male facilities as well that are limiting in what can be done for their therapeutic recovery and getting them on a path of reentry back into our community. So we have some facilities. The first one is really Chittenden, and then there's one or two other facilities that we really need to start looking at replacing.
We got an email earlier from Will in Wethersfield who said, Vermont needs to develop secure, supportive facilities for women whose offenses stem from trauma, mental illness, and addiction. Very few female inmates need or benefit from a high-security facility with razor wire and thick walls. They need longer time away from the toxic environments that exacerbate their conditions. And Will says, don't just build a new facility that then determines the program for years to come. Mike, how does a new facility, if one ultimately is built, accommodate the traumatic experiences that you said many of these women come into your system with?
Yeah, that kind of goes back to my comment earlier around the Mains facility, where they really considered when they were building that facility, understanding how they could best serve a population who primarily has been traumatized and victimized. And again, it looks and feels just like a college campus. And when you look at that, you think if you walk through Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility and then you walk through the main reentry facility, the question I would pose is, in which environment would any individual, regardless of what the trauma history or violence history is, in which environment would somebody most likely benefit and be engaged and have the opportunity to recover and improve themselves? His point about Will's point about maximum security facility with razor wire, he's not wrong on that. So about 50% of our population, both male and female, are actually minimum custody. And so for the listeners, a minimum custody population does not require what, I think most of us kind of envision as we see on TV is these huge infrastructures with razor wires and gun turrets. So about 50% of our population doesn't need that level of security. And that's an important piece because that also drives the cost factor when we're considering building. What's interesting is on average around the country, again, this is kind of going back to the war on crime where we really built prisons at an unprecedented rate. The cost per bed is about $175,000 to $250,000 per bed. And that's kind of a national average. Maine did theirs for about $100,000 a bed. So I think not only can we achieve some financial benefits by looking at replacing a really aged facility that needs some significant repairs, but we can also achieve much better outcomes by thinking thoughtfully about what the design and what the space to provide program and services.
Alice Emmons, one of the most important and controversial, frankly, questions that policymakers are going to have to deal with as they set out on this prison replacement is what should the capacity be? Chittenden Regional can accommodate up to 170 inmates. How many prison beds do you think the replacement facility should have?
That's what we're starting to work on. And I think we have to be very, very clear. We're doing, our goal was to do a parallel path. And at the same time, we are looking at what would be initiatives that we could put in place to really stabilize the women's population. And we are reaching out to our council of state governments to work with us, be it with the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch, to really look at initiatives we could put in place to see if we can stabilize and level off our corrections population. And they're going to be looking as well at the women's population, and they're going to be looking at the detainee population and come back next session in come January with some initiatives that we can possibly put into place. At the same time, in the construction world, it takes time to build any state-owned facility. It's not like building your own home that you can put that up within 6 months to a year. We have to do a cost analysis, a feasibility study of different size facilities. We could do a 50-bed facility, 100-bed facility, 150-bed facility, regardless if it's male or female. You have internal construction costs for that, be it your piping, be it your square footage for cafeteria, dining areas, rec areas, programming areas. You've got a basic square footage there of that infrastructure. And what is the construction cost of that for a 50-bed, 100-bed, 150-bed, regardless if it's male or female? Those figures, if that could be given to us next session as well, then we can put those two pieces together and say, okay, it looks like our women's population may be stable at 150, or it may look like it will go down to 100 beds. So then you start planning your documents, your construction documents for that particular size. And again, that takes a lot of, that takes time because we have to go out for RFPs, we have to go out to bid, and we also have to work within our capital bonding structure for the money to pay for it. And that's not going to happen in 1 year. So the sooner we can get started, the sooner we can get a facility up and running. Because right now, if we started right now with these feasibility studies, the basics, along with looking at our policy and what size facility should we have for the women, right now we would be with a new facility, it wouldn't open for at least 5 to 7 years. From this point going forward, if everything was in place.
Mike Touchette, advocates for inmates, for reforms in the criminal justice system more generally, say this prison replacement exercise is a real opportunity to rethink how Vermont approaches corrections. And they say to replace the existing facility with one that holds 50 inmates, say, instead of the 170-bed capacity that you have right now, would really push the state to find alternatives for prison for women who are convicted of crimes. What would Vermont need to do as a matter of policy in order to make that approach work, in order to say, you know what, we are going to reduce significantly the number of women that we are sending to prison in Vermont?
Right. So you know, Justice Reinvestment 1 from 2007, and again, as Representative Emmons just talked about, this next iteration, Justice Reinvestment 2, we're going to look at some of those factors. How do we – it's really two questions for me, right? One is that, you know, how do we reduce the prison population? But probably more importantly is how do we prevent people from becoming justice involved to begin with. And so for me, that's a real pivotal point that we need to make a priority during these evaluations this coming year. As far as the size and scale of the number of beds, one of the things that Vermont and quite frankly most of the other states around the country have done is they built a prison and units for a specific sole purpose. So there's very little flexibility to use those for any other purpose other than what they were originally built for without substantial capital investment. So part of the design process here is to have that flexibility, to be agile with these buildings so that we're not locked into a singular purpose. But again, going back to my previous discussion, you know, I think a thoughtful design, an investment up front to support an environment that is conducive to recovery and rehabilitation is going to pay dividends in the long run. It's a worthy investment.
Mike, based on your understanding of the population right now, do you think every woman incarcerated at Chittenden Regional needs to be there as a matter of public safety?
You know, that's not my determination. That's really not knowing all of the factors, whether they be aggravating or mitigating circumstances for all the women. Those are the things that the state's attorneys, the defense attorneys, and the judge all consider when they determine whether or not to place somebody in an incarcerated setting.
Right. But as you survey the environment, is it your sense that there are a bunch of people in there who really don't need to be?
I think there is some opportunity to have people released, particularly the pretrial folks, people that have not yet been adjudicated. That is certainly one of the areas that we're going to be focused on pretty heavily here during this next justice reinvestment work is that detention population.
I'm Peter Hirschfeld in for Jane Lindholm, and you're listening to Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking about efforts to replace the Chittenden Regional Corrections Facility in South Burlington, the only women's prison in the state of Vermont. We're speaking with Mike Touchette, the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Corrections, and Representative Alice Emmons, who chairs the House Committee on Corrections and Institutions. We're joined on the phone now, though, by Karen Tronsgaard-Scott. She's the executive director of the Vermont Network Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Karen, thank you for being a part of this conversation today.
Hi, Pete. Hi, Representative Emmons and Commissioner Touchette, and congratulations, Commissioner, on your new addition to your family. I'm pleased to be here today.
Karen, over the past three decades, the Vermont Network Against Domestic and Sexual Violence has been running programming for female inmates from inside prison walls. It's known as DIVAS, which is short for Discussing Intimate Violence and Accessing Support. What have you been able to learn about the profile of women in prison through this work?
Well, what we've learned through all these years of providing programming to women who are incarcerated in Vermont really mirrors what Commissioner Touchette said about the incredible level of trauma experienced by women who are incarcerated in our state. There's a real trauma to prison pipeline that exists. And, you know, our estimates really mirror what the commissioner referred in terms of 95% of the people, the women that were incarcerated, have experienced some form of domestic or sexual violence, child abuse, significant trauma backgrounds.
Are there things the Department of Corrections could be doing differently or better right now inside the existing prison that would better address the issues that those inmates are dealing with?
Well, I think that I agree with both Representative Evans and Commissioner Touchette that the facility itself presents some real challenges to the expansion of the kinds of programming and the kinds of environment that would really help women deal with the trauma that they've experienced and help them get on the road toward being able to recover and return to communities in a much better place than when they left their communities. We're really fortunate that the leadership at the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility is very dedicated to the women, and that they've invested a lot of training with the corrections officers on the impact of trauma. And you know, they're working. I think they're doing a pretty great job, considering what they're dealing with this facility.
So, what are the key features that you think need to be in a replacement facility that would help the system address the social and psychological and emotional needs of the women who are going to be placed there?
Well, there's a couple things in terms of physical plant, and you know, again, echoing what Commissioner Touchette said, the idea of natural light, the idea of space, the idea of places where people can have just a little privacy. And then access to space to do things like yoga and physical practice that help create new pathways to help overcome trauma. Those are scientifically proven to work. The idea of having enough space to do meaningful and extensive vocational training and educational training would be very important, as well as access to good mental health services and addictions treatment.
So you're on the same page as Corrections Commissioner Mike Touchette, who seems to be on the same page as Representative Alice Emmons. Do you, Karen, foresee any hurdles on the horizon that are going to prevent the state from arriving at this place that everybody thinks it ought to be as it relates to the replacement facility?
We're in a really unique place right now around the synergy that exists between the Department of Corrections, the legislature, and the advocacy community. I think that there's a shared vision for how we can do this better and how doing it better will have an incredibly positive impact on families impacted by incarceration, but also in our communities. The devil, of course, will be in the details, and this is a big complex system that we're talking about addressing. But the idea that we're all sitting down together talking about this and sharing a vision, I think, is just a really unique opportunity.
One of those details, Karen, is how big this new facility should be. There are 156 women incarcerated in Vermont as of Wednesday, at least. What do you think the target number should be?
Well, you know, I'm aware that that we're taking a look at 50 to 100 to 150, of course. The advocate in me will want us to really be thinking about how do we get to 50 or even lower. It's not enough to just say, though, that we should only build 50 beds. We have to really understand and take a hard look at the systems that exist pre-incarceration and how we can prevent incarceration, and the systems that exist for people who have been incarcerated and are trying to rehabilitate and reenter their communities. So I'm on the record as saying that we should really think about minimizing those numbers of beds, but I'm not unrealistic in understanding that we do have to have other systems of support in place.
Karen Tronsgaard-Scott is the executive director of the Vermont Network Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Karen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And we have a call from Tim in Waterville. Tim, I gather you're a former inmate at the Chittenden County facility. What do you think the state ought to do as it relates to this prison replacement project?
Well, I thank you for taking my call. I have found that Commissioner Touchette has been very good in working on programs like this. I was a resident, if you will, of the correctional facility in Chittenden in 2004 and 5, and at that time it was in serious decay. My question as an advocate is along the same lines that I've been hearing on this show. One, is it possible to start instituting electronic bracelets for those low-level offenders who maybe have a one-time offense? And part two of that is I know that the current governor has made a suggestion that we build this sort of mega campus in Franklin County. While I'm not sure that that's the best avenue, my question to Mr. Touchette and Alice and Ms. Emmons is what can we do to reduce that population and bring some of those programs that the women and the men are encountering incarceration to the community?
Tim, thanks so much for the call. And I am going to actually break those questions in half and give the first one to Alice. Alice, Tim mentioned the possibility of using more electronic monitoring as a means to avoid sending people to jail. I know this is something that your committee has looked at. I know there have been various pilot projects around the state. How promising an opportunity does electronic monitoring look like it might be?
Well, we have looked at that for the last 5 years, 8 years, and we're putting more folks on electronic monitoring, but it's not the panacea that people feel it is. And I'll let the commissioner weigh in a little bit more on this, but it depends if it's a passive system or if it's one that's an active system. And the difference is, does it track the offender where they are currently, or is it a delayed response in terms of where they are? An offender can be on electronic monitoring on a bracelet, ankle bracelet, and they could be where they're supposed to be, but maybe their actions that they are doing at that place is not appropriate or another criminal activity, and you have no knowledge of that because it's not tracking that type of behavior. The other part that is troubling with electronic monitoring in the state of Vermont is with our topography. Sometimes they, because of our mountains, you can't transmit the information. That has been corrected at times, and I'm not sure, maybe Commissioner Tushek can weigh in on that, but that was an issue a few years ago. And we have also put in other initiatives for folks not to be incarcerated, particularly as detainees, to be on home detention. That has not proved to be successful. We have also put in initiatives for home confinement for some folks who are sentenced to serve out their sentence in an appropriate housing situation. That has not been successful. So I'm open to anything to decrease our corrections population that will work.
Mike, the second part of Tim's question had to do with the controversial proposal that your boss, Governor Phil Scott, threw out there, I believe it was last year, and it involves the construction of an approximately 800-bed prison campus, he was calling it. I don't have to tell you that that concept has gone over like a lead balloon in the legislature. A lot of people say increasing prison capacity is exactly the wrong direction to be moving in. Make the case for the approach that the governor wants to take here.
And to begin with, I'll clarify that I absolutely support the governor's position on this. And I think the important piece here for listeners to be aware of and as the taxpayers is we're not building a building capacity. We are replacing facilities that no longer are able to meet the needs and the programmatic needs that the department is charged with fulfilling. It also brings back 281 male inmates who are currently housed in a Mississippi private correctional facility. Those Vermonters, I think it is the goal of most everybody to have those Vermonters back in Vermont where they're able to maintain connections with their friends, their family, and their communities. That's really important for us. We can't forget that we have these people out there. They should be back in Vermont where they belong. Maintaining connections with their families, friends, and communities is really critical to how we are, how successful we are with the rehabilitation and reentry work. So there's a simple perspective from my point on how I perceive this, and it's really as a taxpayer myself, and you know, all state employees are taxpayers as well, and the concept is very simple. If I'm investing, like you do with any other sort of investment that you might make on a personal level, you have to put some money up front, and then what are you expecting in return? And in this case, the taxpayer should expect that we're going to work really hard to provide services, treatment, and opportunities for somebody to be rehabilitated and return to the communities healthier than when they first came in. Currently, our facilities don't foster that type of environment. This is a great opportunity to really invest in the safety of our communities. And quite frankly, it could have a positive cash influence for the taxpayers. If we're able to do our jobs much more effectively, we don't need to spend as much money on these prisons as we have been. And again, if we do a really good job of trying to look at the upfront, how are people making their way into the justice system? That's a critical component to our long-term success.
Roxanne from Burlington is calling in. Roxanne, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
What do you have to add today?
Well, I have been in that facility many times as a college professor with human services students who were very interested in that particular part of human services. And what I haven't heard yet is any discussion about a compassionate, kind, sensible opportunity for the moms to visit with their children when they are incarcerated. That in and of itself is helpful and healing, not only for the mom, but also for their children. We now live in Atlanta, and there are a couple of nonprofits there whose sole job is to bring children to see their moms on a regular basis in a kind, cozy, warm, and comfortable environment. It's a very, very odd notion to have the visits to begin with. And when the environment is harsh and cold and concrete and sort of lacks any tenderness, that to me is just really not a very valuable asset.
Roxanne, thanks so much for introducing that element to the conversation, because it is a critical one, Mike, right?
It certainly is.
A lot of these women enter this prison leaving young children in many cases behind.
Or delivering children while they're incarcerated.
So what is the state doing now to foster productive relationships between incarcerated women and their children?
Yeah.
And what more could it do to make those relationships even better?
Right. So the point the caller made is really important. And there's a lot of aspects of this facility the planning of this facility that we're probably not going to touch on, but I really appreciate that question. The Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility does host a Kids Apart program where children are able to come into the correctional facility and visit pretty frequently with their mothers, and they receive some supportive coaching and supports as they learn to be mothers for the first time, or as an experienced mother, some more opportunities to improve those parental skills. I can't disagree, though. The environment itself is we have softened it to the extent that's possible. It's still, after all, prison setting, and I think we can do better with thoughtful consideration of how we construct a replacement facility.
Alice Emmons, the Vermont chapter of the ACLU has launched a campaign to cut the inmate population in half in Vermont. From your perch as chairwoman of the House committee that oversees corrections issues in Vermont, is that a doable goal? Could you have the prison population in this state and do so in a way that you think would preserve public safety?
That I don't know where I am on that one at this point. We did some work with the Council of State Governments, the Justice Reinvestment, back in 2007. Their projection for our prison population at that point for the next 10 years would have been, if we did not put in any initiatives, at 2,800. We are 1,000 less than what was projected because we put in some initiatives. And I go back to a previous commissioner, Commissioner Gorchek, who said to us back in the 90s, said, our incarcerative beds should not be used for nonviolent offenders and for offenders that would do better rehabilitative-wise in the community and not in one of our hard beds. Our hard beds should be used for those violent offenders with a high risk to reoffend. And we put in initiatives to accomplish that. So my committee this past session did some digging in terms of who are we incarcerating. And I think we really need to look at the numbers. We need to look at the type of crime and who is sentenced and who is detained. And in looking at this, we did a comparison back in January, and then it was updated in June by the department. And what we have for women, and this was as of June 6th this year, we had 142 women who were incarcerated. And 126 of those are charged or convicted with felonies. And for men, we had 1,552, of which 1,477 of them were charged or convicted with felony offenses, not misdemeanors.
All right. So a lot of hard questions then in terms of figuring out how to get those numbers down. We're going to have to leave it there. Representative Alice Emmons is a state representative from Springfield who chairs the House Committee on Corrections and Institutions. Mike Touchette is the commissioner of the Vermont Department of Corrections. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.